This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's what happens when the lead singer of Nickelback is pissed off at having to watch this crap-ass team. Oh, how is this even happening? How can you have a team this incompetent? Well, at least you got us here. We are your hour and a half of therapy, at least until 6 o'clock. It is Rich Certainleave, Ken Lair, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Well, only 90 left, Rich, so it's over soon.
Yeah, fairly soon. But man,
just 90 games. Oh my God.
I mean, how are we this bad? Mm-hmm. And you know what we're going to do? As I said, you know, we did this last time because it feels, I keep saying there's a new low, but the low just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. And, this does feel like, I know I said this last time, but it does feel like something's got to change, doesn't it? Like, isn't this the kind of series that you lose where you find out Craig Breslow's gone? Like, doesn't it kind of feel that way?
Is this team even worth change? I'm not even sure they're worth that. They're not worth an effort to change.
I don't know.
I don't know what if you get rid of them, okay. I mean, that maybe just kind of keeps, you know, the dogs at bay, I guess, a little bit. But, I mean, it doesn't solve anything. I don't think you can solve anything right now. There's nothing they can do, I don't think, to turn this thing around. So you can let go of Breslow. That's fine. I'm not so sure the results will be positive, but it is interesting now that Cora is gone. Six of hitting coaches are gone. It is squarely on one man's shoulders, and that is Craig Breslow. Yep. This is a roster issue. This is the players. Please, it's not, players are doing the best what God gave them. This is Breslow bringing in these players, and that it's all squarely on him right now.
Well, we are taking your calls. As I said, this is going to be therapy, all of us together. You're going to be helping us through it. We're going to be hopefully helping you through it. 617-779-7937. And are you ready to hear the play of the game or the shame of the game, maybe we should call it? This is from a Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Let's hear the shame of the game, shall we?
Fans are alive at Fenway, tied at 3. Chapman is ready. That pitch is popped up on the left side, on the infield. Wong throws the mask away. He will flip it to the side and not make the play. The wind is a huge factor right now. 3-2. Here it is. It is skied into left field. Wind has it. Duran back onto the track at the wall. He can't make the play. It's off the green. Jaron has to play the carom. A wind-aided double, and Toronto goes ahead 4-3.
Oh. And they're finding new ways to lose, too. I
just
mean,
catch that foul ball, and you're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you got to do.
That's right.
But would they have scored in the next hour?
No.
I mean, they got three. It took them the whole series to get three runs. That was incredible.
That's the thing, too, is
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
they scored four runs the whole series.
Oh my God.
Four runs.
And by the way, Ted, because I was asking Ken because I was curious, do you remember yesterday when we were on the air, I was joking. I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe tonight's game, they're not going to strand 13 more guys on base. And what did they do yesterday?
Strand
13 guys on base.
12 officially.
Was it 12 officially?
Yes.
Okay, well, 13 and then 12. Yeah. And I believe only, I think the total for the series is, did you say 1 for 29?
1 for 29. I have them 1 for 12, 0 for 12, and 0 for 5. So 1 for 29 runners in scoring position in the series, which means it's just incredible. If you sat at Fenway Park for the last 3 days, you watched 29 guys get the second or third. One time, a runner scored with a hit, and the other 28, they just sat there.
Brutal.
It's just amazing.
I mean, this team was, not built to hit, right? It was built on defense and pitching, right? I mean, that's what we were told. We were sold.
But not in the wind. You can't. It's different. That's an asterisk. That's a wind-aided double there.
Oh, it is? Okay. All right. But it's just, it's just amazing to me. You looked at the first round of the playoffs last year against the Yankees. The hitting was obviously a problem in that series, and we all thought in the offseason, heck, they needed not only did they need to bring back Bregman, but they needed to add a right-handed bat. You need to add hitting. And they subtracted. They didn't add any hitting at all. And this has been the biggest issue for this team. And it, as bad as they are hitting, I mean, it's just, I've never seen anything like this. This is the worst hitting I've ever seen of any baseball team ever.
Actually a great point. Real quick, sure. What Ted just said there, I have not heard anybody say that. The signs were there in the playoff series. You got shut out by Schlittler.
Yep.
You would have thought that would have embarrassed you into the offseason to make changes to the O. Instead, they did the exact opposite.
It's just such bad management. And it's like something that everybody saw coming. Let's go to Paul on line one. Paul, what's up, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm adjusting my sense of reality. I'm listening to
Hey Paul, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to put you on hold because your phone sounds really bad.
Sounds like the Red Sox office. Play.
Yeah, I mean it's really awful. Let's go to Dave on line two. Dave, what's up, man? How's it going?
Hey Dave.
What are these guys? The Dallas Cowboys? I mean, they're putting out mediocre product, and John Henry's just still sitting there making all the money.
Yeah.
What the heck? Spend some of that money.
It's weird too because Dave, I just have a feeling that nothing's going to change. Like Breslow's going to still remain in charge. John Henry will still lurk in the shadows and won't go on the record. This team will still leave an entire fleet of men on base, and Sweet Caroline will keep on playing as they just cash. You know, spend the highest ticket some of the highest ticket prices in baseball. It really is just getting ridiculous at this point.
I mean, he's making all the money from Nesson Plus because we are Nesson 360 because we all cut the cord and paid for that. He's locked us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys.
I know.
The fans have to turn around and say, you know what? At Fenway, be empty.
And Dave, I feel you. It's tough. I mean, they just, you would hope that they were competent enough to just realize that apathy is starting to settle in. Like, it's gone past almost anger. And now it's just like, you're starting to make it so we're not going to care anymore.
Well, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
I feel like this is, after last night's game, I feel like it was, I've never seen anything. I mean, I thought Twitter was ablaze last night. I feel like people are just at their, this is the worst it's ever been in this Toronto series.
Except for the Tartan Army is there and it's confusing. Like there's this happy
group of
Scott fans.
I feel bad for them. Yeah, I feel bad for them. Like I hear them cheering and stuff and I'm just like.
I think that's why.
Dude, I feel bad for you.
That's why people are so upset. They wanted the Tartan Army to get some, you know, see some good baseball.
Maybe the Sox offense is distracted by them. Like the kilts are just very distracting.
You would think that poor Will Fleming. He kept, I don't know how many times he said this. If the players could just match the energy of the fans in the stands,
yeah,
it'd be all right.
And you know what I feel if they only knew how much the fans have tolerated and how much we would just lose our minds if they started winning. You know what I mean? It's like they don't appreciate what they have. Right now, I believe that, to be quite honest, Red Sox fans have been a little too forgiving this season. Like, a lot of them have just like, you know, like, even me.
Apathy or just understanding?
Maybe there's a little bit. Like, you give them more credit for little things, like a couple of games where they hit a home run or two. And you're like, woo!
Well, yeah, we have swung quickly.
And I have done that before. I did that with the Braves series. Yeah. I got, like, very excited. I'm like, maybe this is the start of something. And they've got them. They've got the fans. Everyone jokes about green teamers. Right now, the Red Sox fans, including myself, are really unforgivably forgiving.
It's probably because they made the postseason last year.
Absolutely,
there seemed to be progress.
Absolutely, it was.
Yeah.
They made a great trade for Crochet. They signed a big bat and, you know, kind of an established player in Bregman. They're bringing up the young players. There was so much to be optimistic about this team at the end of last year, and to see where you are right now, it's just such a fall from where they started. Last year in spring training and in the middle of the season last year to this point is a huge, huge fall from where they were last year.
Let's go to line four. John, what's happening, man? How you doing?
They had five hits today.
Yep.
In a day where the wind was blowing 65 miles an hour out to left field, two of their home runs come back to back from Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, the spokesman of the team, and Caleb Effin Durbin. They tie the game, and the catcher drops what would be, was that the third out? I'm sorry, as it worked, but at least drops the winning run to lose the game on a wall ball double rivaled only by one Bucky Dent. Now, I don't know, obviously, if you guys saw the driveline guy, Kyle Bodhi, was let go.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you know much about Kyle, but he made his bones as an online poker player. So everything with poker is analytics. It's numbers. If it makes sense, you push your chips into the table. The Red Sox push their chips into the table with a guy that wouldn't know if a baseball is puffed or stuffed. He is Ken Laird. That's exactly what he is.
Hey.
He's an engineer.
Well, hire me.
The only thing that this does for me, because I know they're going to clean house and nothing's going to change. Yeah. A GM worth of salt will not come here because he is not allowed to run this like a baseball team. The Red Sox need one thing and one thing only. I'm an Isle of One. I don't give a goddamn. Blow up that stadium and give me Three River Stadium, because until nobody goes there, nothing will change. It is a cash cow that never is satisfied.
Yeah, John, that's a great call, except for the shrapnel towards old Ken. I don't think that was war.
That's accurate. I'm not arguing that. I'm a nerd.
Just to be accurate, Kyle Bodie, he did not get fired. I guess he stepped away for other opportunities.
That's the most amazing thing.
Did you read that article? Did you guys read it? Okay, because I learned a lot more about Driveline and the history of Driveline when I read that article. Yep. If you don't know, the guy Driveline is this method of teaching, I guess, like how to swing. What is the method? It's like you're supposed to hit it high and you're supposed to
lift it and pull and lift.
It sounds like such garbage. Yeah. It really sounds like a fancy name for hit it high. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, and we even had Chad Tracy try to explain it to us. And these guys, he's exactly right. When I read it, it seems like something that's totally based in numbers and not based in human feel. And I know we had that guy Lorenzo in, who's been teaching Caleb Durbin how to hit. And by the way, since he's seen Lorenzo's seen Caleb Durbin, Caleb Durbin's been hitting better. Hell, he's one of the guys who had a home run.
He's
today.
Up to 192.
Sure, but he was awful. Like, he was god awful. And now at least there's a little bit. You see what I'm saying? We're very forgiving as Red Sox fans. And it really, I'm kind of ashamed of myself for being so.
Probably homered today.
But all that being said, you've got your own players in an organization that should be able to afford the greatest batting coaches in the entire world. You're the effing Red Sox, and you're hiring this guy that's all based on numbers, and they have people having to leave the organization to go find their own. This isn't off-season like Chad Tracy and a lot of people are saying, well, you know, a lot of these people, they leave the team. You know, when the season's over, they got their own guys. No. Mid-season, they left the team and found a batting coach.
Well, even worse than that, Rich, this guy is so embarrassed to be associated with the Red Sox, he's now finding ways to leave the organization and say he's too busy to work with the Boston Red Sox.
Good riddance.
Well, exactly, but it's unbelievable.
Well, it's a little scary that he wasn't fired. I mean, Breslow hired him in his first offseason with the team in 2024, and you would think with the way that they're performing this year that he would be one of the first guys to go. But no, he was not fired. I think you're right. I think he's like, I'm too embarrassed to be here. I'm going to go.
You want to hear Chad Tracy talk? He joined us talking hitting pillars.
Swing decisions, hitting the ball hard, ball flight, which is not yank it in the air at 900 feet in the air. It's like hit the ball above the infield.
Is that the drive line?
They're hitting pillars. Yeah.
Hit the ball above the infield. Right over their heads.
This team is so stupid. Let's go to Peter in the Cape on line two. Peter, what's up, man? How's it going, bud?
Good. Hey, how you doing? So two quick points and then I'll hang up and listen. The first point is all of this was planned. John Henry's going to have a lockout next December. And so this year's a wash. He knew this was going to happen. He doesn't care. Lockout next year. The second point I want to make is actually Driveline is a really, really cool, very inspiring story to think that you can build a company like that and know nothing about baseball. It's actually really inspiring.
It's so true. It's true. It's this guy, Kyle Bodie, he established Driveline in 2008, based out of Seattle. It also says that he was the Cincinnati Reds director of pitching from 2020 to 2021. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is he, a hit? Is he a hitting expert or is he a pitching expert?
I just like when they asked, hey, so you're leaving for these other jobs. What are these jobs? He's like, I'm not going to tell you. He's like, the cat who ate the canary. I'm not going to tell you. It's because, you know, I think this is one of those things where he left the team. I believe this was one of those deals where a message was sent. Mm-hmm. Where he probably knew that his time wasn't long.
But his underlings are still here. John Sotiropoulos is their hitting coach, one of three, and he is a Driveline former employee of Kyle Bodie. It's the pipeline.
I don't root for anybody to get fired. I don't.
What would satisfy the masses? What could they do right now, Rich, that would be like, you know what? All right, good. They did this. I feel better about the team. Here we go.
I hate to say it, but getting rid of Breslow would send a message to the fans.
What about the hitting coach to start? I mean, you could eliminate all the driveline guys.
Sure, you, whatever, but that's not something, that's not a name big enough, that's not a decision maker that's big enough in order for the fans to feel that they're doing something. I honestly think that that is a message that you, because you know what it does? It also says, we're not going to let this guy that screwed up the team this year screw up the team at the trade deadline. Get rid of him now. Mm-hmm. Send a message that someone's coming in here to clean house. Yeah. Someone who, an adult in the room who doesn't rely completely on numbers, just show me you care. Because I'll tell you what, you got any faith that Craig Breslow's going to do something good at the trade deadline? Then get him out.
You know what's scary, though, guys, is just the fact that the caller just said it. I mean, Breslow was their 12th option. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Who wants this job?
They got to make Theo do it. He's part owner.
To me, that's the answer.
Absolutely.
I mean,
doesn't want any part of it.
Yeah, I know he doesn't.
Why would you if you're him?
No way.
But there's nothing to lose. I mean, you can't get worse. Well, you cannot get worse.
But for him, it's for three months.
Ding his reputation.
Three months, it won't.
You don't think?
No.
It's a lot of work, too, man, and he doesn't need to do this.
I'd rather him do no work and just say, all right, give me 5 minutes, evaluate what we have, and make a trade. I don't care who you get. Just do your best. Yeah. Trust your instincts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd be curious, but it feels, I agree with Rich. Just when you listen to him talk, the last thing it feels like is that he wants to just dive in the deep end and help this, you know, organization figure it out. It almost is like, hey, I'm talking because someone asked me. I really don't want to get involved, kind of thing. He's like, he's more hands off than I originally anticipated.
But that caller's right. Kyle Boddy started at Poker Stars. I had no idea. I was just looking up that he started in analytics gambling. So what if you bring in like Phil Hellmuth the rest of the year, like your hitting coach,
or Annie Duke?
Yeah, just go all poker players.
Our number 617-779-7937. As I said, this is one big therapy session. We appreciate being on the couch here for you're more even you guys listening to us. But let's listen to you. Let's go to Paul on line one. What's happening, Paul? How's it going?
Good. Hey, it's funny hearing you. I love the opinions, and it's important to understand that we still have a bit of a season, and it's a growing period. We have a new manager who's never done this, doing well in a multimedia market. And you have to understand that this team isn't a senior team. You can't take a freshman and sophomore group, throw them together, and expect too much. And I agree with everything you're saying. We've got to be careful. Remember, Pete Carroll got thrown out and won a Super Bowl, and Breslow had his arms a little bit restricted without what you call a no trade would throw you away when we want contract and not enough long-term commitment money, which in fairness, Henry and Morgan did after winning 4 world championships.
Hey, Paul, I just want to have you pause for 1 second. Don't hang up on Paul. The one thing you're saying is that you got to feel a little bit for this freshman and sophomore team. It was Craig Breslow who put together this freshman and sophomore team. You should have more seniors and juniors on it. You should have more players who can hit, who know what they're doing. And everything that we are reading and everything we're hearing about Craig Breslow is that he can't even communicate with the people around him. He needs a translator. That was in the article. Nobody can understand his methods.
And don't forget, this roster was projected by their algorithms that they was going to win mid-90s. They were going to win over 90 games based on the roster that they started with at the beginning of the year.
And, Paul, I'll give you this, too, because I put very little blame on Chad Tracy. I don't think he's anything to work with. So I'm not sitting here saying that he's part of the problem. He's not helping. Listen, I don't know if he's helping or not. As I said, he might be quieting down the drama that's in that locker room because it's tough to not have any when you suck this bad. But I'll say that he's maybe like way down on the list of people you should be blaming for what's going on right now.
Right. You can't make crud from crepes. And all I'm saying is this, guys. One of you guys said this. They're offering them no long-term money and a no-trade clause where they throw them away when they get moody. That's all I'm saying. Did they give Breslow the right material to get the right players?
Mm. Well, he it was his decision to fire Cora. And right now, the new guy is 7 games under, the same as Cora was. So that was his big decision in season this year, and it made no impact. So that has to come back on Breslow. Hey, you thought this would make a difference. It didn't. In Philadelphia, it did, and here it didn't. So I think that's he's like exposed himself. You know, he's proven that it was his roster was totally flawed and it had nothing to do with AC and the guys around him.
Let's go to Fran on line 2. Fran, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's up, buddy?
I think Neil Diamond needs to sue the Red Sox for them playing Sweet Caroline.
Right? No, seriously.
Chad Kroger just wrote the new theme song for the Red Sox.
That is good. Texters want you to post that, baby.
You ready to post that song? Okay.
The Nickelback song?
We'll play it a little bit later. It's not actually Nickelback. It's not Nickelback.
I figured you would go Counting Crows for it.
No. I said
least favorite band.
No, I said I wanted pure butt rock. I wanted butt rock anger about the Red Sox, and that's what we
Keith
ended up
loved it.
I guess the Tartan Army did not sing Sweet Caroline. Did you guys know that was a thing?
Did they refuse to?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you know why?
Well, because English.
I did not know that
team song. Yeah.
That's an English song. So they just sat there quietly while those.
They did Friday. They did Friday though. Kat said they joined in.
They wouldn't do it for me when I asked them to do it.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
I got a very.
It's getting real now that they won.
I got a very taunting text from the Tartan Army on last night, as a matter of fact, because. They were over at the Cisco Brewery, like, getting loaded, and they had invited me to go on, and it was, like, the one night my family had got me tickets to go see the very manly Les Miserables.
Les Mis, yeah.
And, like, I got a text French. From a bunch of Scottish guys all drunk, and it says, you went to Les Mis?
Did you see them outside?
I've never felt more emasculated in my entire life.
They made an Arcan song outside our studio in Lansdowne last night, singing to them.
That's great. I know.
Great.
We should have that. All right, let's go to Rosario. What's up, Rosario? How you doing?
What's up, guys? Great show. I love listening to you in the afternoon.
That's
fine. So I just this whole ownership thing with the Red Sox. You know, we all get mad. You know, if like John Henry sell the team, this and that. But if this guy's putting minimal money into a product that's giving a maximum return, why would he invest more money when he's getting the most return? It's like if we're going to put another $300 million into players, he's not going to make any more money. He's selling out the everything. It's sold out every night. But I wanted to take you guys' respect on that.
You know what? Thank you, Rosario, for calling. And I know that there's this whole thing where, you know, stop going to the games.
Yeah.
And the honest truth is, and I hate to say it, Fenway's an effing awesome place.
Yeah.
If you've got, like, friends in town, I like going to see baseball. And you know what? Sometimes, a lot of times lately, I like seeing the other team that's coming. Like, if there's a star that's going to be here, I know Max Scherzer was supposed to pitch the other night. I want to go.
Might as well have a team B to root for, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I like baseball in the summer, and it sucks because I guess that makes me part of the problem. But we shouldn't have to be the people that dictate that. You should have competent ownership that realizes when their team sucks, and it's a team that's got, like, some sort of sliver of embarrassment that looks at what's going on here and knows that if you read all the articles, the person making all the decisions in Craig Breslow right now is the laughing stock of the league.
Now, according to David Ortiz said John Henry is upset.
Oh,
unless he's lying.
David Ortiz, shut up. I love David Ortiz.
Don't say that. Take that back.
I love David Ortiz, but right now he has been a spokesperson for John Henry and, like, kind of been his mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. John Henry, talk. You're the owner of this team. It's time for you to talk. This is an all-time bad team, an all-time. I think it was 1914. We're now comparing stats on how bad this team's projected to finish.
I heard Joe Wild say that. Yeah. Fewest runs at this point in a home season since 1916.
He hasn't talked to the media in what, 4 years?
But
is that right?
But off the record.
No, but he's there. He's there.
That's the
in
worst.
The shadows.
That pissed me off
incidental.
So much.
He's incidentally there.
He's incidentally there.
He's lurking and watching. That was like when Cora got fired. Remember the story about how they went in and told all the players and they said, oh, yeah, John Henry was there so like upset. On the side. Didn't say a word. Just lurked and lurched.
I'm pissed.
No wonder the environment sucks there, because these players just see, like, John Henry lurking around every corner and peering at them with his creepy eyes and probably a parasol to block from the sun.
I wouldn't be so much into hearing John Henry as much as talk as much as I would spend more money. I know, you know, now you can't, but, you know, in the offseason, just spend more money. You have the 12th highest, or you have the one of the, you know, biggest revenues. You're one of the most, you know,
highest revenue
teams, mm-hmm. but yet you spend at the 12th rated, the most, you know, 12th ranked money.
Yankees are spending $308 million.
And how about, you know, not only spending money, spend it wisely. Like, put it in the right place.
Do you think because of the lockout, he did sort of calculatedly spend less this year for a reason? Is there any nefarious... Like, I'm not going overboard this year because we're getting a cap.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either, man. You know, why lock myself up to these contracts when I know it's going to be a cap to, you know, in a couple of years? I could totally see him doing that.
Ever since Dombrowski was gone, the benefit of the doubt is you don't get it anymore. You don't get it. You've sent a message. You're not going to spend as much money as you used to. You're not going to be as aggressive. and you're just going to put together a team that's just barely good enough, and you're going to cross your fingers that they're all going to overachieve, because that's what we've been getting over and over and over again. And it's enough. It's enough. This team is too big. You're the effing Boston Red Sox. You're the Boston Red Sox. You should spend that way. You should have the best GMs. You should have the best decision makers. People should want to work here. Mm-hmm. And they ended up having to go through 11 different people to get somebody to say yes, and that was Craig Breslow.
Do you think
that's inexcusable. You're the Boston Red Sox.
Do you think the cap will help this team? The Athletic did a poll that just had results just came out. They had 9,000 people respond across the country. Do you want a cap or do you want the market system? 58% want the cap.
I think the cap.
I
do too.
I want the cap. Now,
whether it will help the team, dude, listen, nothing's going to make the team worse.
If the Red Sox aren't going to take advantage of the advantage they have because of how much money they make by buying, paying more for better quality players, then I want them to have a salary cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to let John Henry off the hook, but you're right. I mean, that's the reality. I think so too. It'll make the Yankees spend less. Unfortunately, though, the Rays will spend a lot more. So Tampa's beating you with a third of the payroll. Yeah. They're now going to have equal money to spend.
Just to kind of put this into a really clear, succinct perspective on where they are at this point, there's like 90 games left, something like that.
Mm-hmm,
the teams that have made the third wild card, the worst record they've ever had since the third wild card was implemented, I think in 2022, was 86 games. 86 games. So for them to win 86 games.
Oh, you're on pace for 97 losses right now.
They have to basically go 55-35 the rest of the way out.
Jeez, man. All right, let's go to Tim in Hanover. Tim, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Guys, every one of you guys doing the proper bashing that needs to be bashed, man.
Yes, man. Appreciate it.
Here's the deal. I said in the beginning of the season, this season was over the minute they started. The one thing, they had great pitching, but you know what? Batting is the key. You can't win games unless you score at least one or two runs, right? And
yes.
Breslow, I don't feel bad for him at all. Breslow, he threw Cora under the bus, and he's a great manager. That's what he deserves everything he gets, and I don't care what they do. They better just start all over and get a new team, period.
Yeah, I mean,
but when? Right away?
Well, I think right away, you can't trust this guy to do anything having to do with any sort of trades. And there was a very good article that was in the Boston Globe. I don't know who wrote it, but it was like, don't even wait for the trade deadline. You got to start doing something now. Get on it before everyone else does so you can try to make moves. Why would you trust Craig Breslow to do anything else for this team?
Nope, yes.
So that's why.
Maybe a pitching trade.
I hate these people who are like, just let him go to the end of the season and then they'll make a move. No, do it now.
The feeling is that they thought that the Joe Ryan trade was in the bag until it wasn't. So I don't trust.
But they got Sonny Gray. I mean, he pitched that Sonny Gray today.
At the trade deadline last year?
No, just saying.
I'm talking about Kenny. I trust him in the offseason more than I trust him at the trade deadline.
No, you're right. Sonny Gray, 3 earned runs or less for 9 straight starts, and they blew one of his today. The pitching is not bad.
No. Today was actually pretty good. There has been a little bit of a crack in the armor lately. Like it hasn't
yeah, but
been
it
like
just,
it totally hasn't been as sharp.
But if you won a game like 7-3, you would just be like, oh, pitching was awesome. Sonny Gray was great. You wouldn't even think twice about it.
The margin is so small now because they're not scoring. And that's unfair to the pitchers. It actually is. By the way, we're in the Ketchuslaw Injury Attorney's studio. No fee unless you win. Let's go to Dan on line 2. Dan, how's it going?
Hello, Dan.
It's going well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, buddy.
Hey, I was at the game last night, and we thought something a little strange was going on. We went there, hoping to hear the Scots sing, and we certainly had plenty of Scots around us, but not as many as the other night. And they were singing their songs, but I'll tell you, it seemed like every time that they started singing something, Fenway organist would come up with playing elevator music. And everybody in the outfield was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what you guys think about that.
Will they ever watch a baseball game again? Scotland's going to be like, what is this product? There are more goals.
It's kind of the way some of us feel about soccer.
That's true.
It's the one thing I've learned about soccer recently. It's like, I've loved everything about the World Cup being here. I've loved all the people. I've loved the beginning of the game where they bring the flags out and the singing and the people crying in the stands. But once the game starts, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Look behind you. Switzerland just scored 4 goals. I mean, that's more than the Red Sox have scored in a month.
Why is this the game that I... It's true. Why are these these are the games I never end up watching. I always end up somehow watching like the nil-nil, like draw, or like 1-0.
Well, that's Cape Verde's strategy. Wait, they really lock it down. Left wing lock.
What is that team's? Is Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like two countries in one?
Two countries.
Is it Bosnia-Herzegovina or is it Bosnia and Herzegovina? Is there like
they,
one of those?
They have an and up there.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So they teamed up together. They're buddies.
Okay. I didn't know two countries could do
America and Canada.
Seriously.
All right. We will continue to take your calls. It is somewhat of a therapeutic postmortem. And we do have Chad Tracy, who I said is like, I'm not blaming Chad Tracy for any of this. He's in a bad position. And the guy, I do believe that the way that he handled into essentially a more chaotic situation than what he's been thrown into. And so far, he's been able to do it. You know, he hasn't made it worse. So, as I said, of all the people who are out there, he's the last one I'm ripping on. All right, 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, doing a little bit of a Red Sox postmortem right now. 617-779-7937 after another awful divisional sweep, just a bad season. And
I'm sorry, Rich.
Sure, please.
I just got to get this off. I'm looking at my notes from like the week of 4/27 to 5/1, right? And it was the week that Alex Cora got fired. And all I got in my notes is how many times did Craig Breslow, when he did interviews the days after the firing of Alex Cora, say that he thinks this roster is a playoff team, that he still believes in this roster. This roster is a playoff team. We just need a fresh start. He doubles down by saying this roster is a playoff-worthy roster.
He said that 2 days ago. He said we're not giving up.
You're right. But just, like, bro, what is wrong with you? Like, you have no clue what you're watching right now. Everybody sees it except for you, bud.
He literally is going down with the ship. I mean, this is the guy on the Titanic playing the violin.
It is so true.
Well, Sam Kennedy, he's kind of become the droopy dog of the team now. Like, after he went on the Greg Hill show last week or the week before, and he was just like, we're the worst. We're awful.
He's the ship captain who is just, yeah, it's my fault.
Yep, you can whip me with a noodle, please. I'll take it. I love the pain. And like, he was on Nesson the other day, too. Yeah. And I don't know if we have any of that, but we do. And it was just like, it sounds to me as if they are resigned to the fact that this team is awful. The fans know it's awful, but I don't hear a plan. Like, I get it. It's good to hear you acknowledge what we have known for months now, that this team has major flaws and as constructed, has no chance of winning. Great. I'm glad you understand what we saw a long time ago. Even though it wasn't our job, it was yours. But what I want to hear is, then what the F are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Because I haven't heard, all I've heard is, you know, we're going to try real hard. First I heard you're going to try to get a right end of bat. Then I heard ownership was going to get a right end of bat. And then I heard, you know what, we're going to pivot from that because we're not doing as well.
And we're not firing Breslow.
And we're not firing Breslow.
Right.
So it's like, what's the plan? Just to understand what I'm saying. This is a little bit of Sam Kennedy. He was on with, this is the Tom Caron clip, right? Okay, he was on with Tom Caron. Let's take a listen.
And you have to look at the reality of selling off pieces. How disappointing is that? Because that, it's not a white flag per se, but it clearly indicates that this season, you know, you're entering that next phase of reloading.
Yeah, it's brutal. We have rarely found ourselves in that situation. And when you do, like every trade deadline, you have to do what's in the best interest of the organization, not any one person, not a member of the front office, not a player, not an executive, not an owner. You have to do what's in the best interest of the organization, and that's what we'll do if we're in that position. But it's brutal and, you know, truly sort of unthinkable given, you know, the expectations. That's what's made these first couple of months so difficult, because we did have high expectations internally and externally. And by the way, the offseason, the guys who've come in to the Red Sox organization, Sonny and Ranger and Wilson and Chappie with the extension, I mean, they've done their part. They've been great. We've just had underperformance in other areas. And so we got to get guys going and get us back on the track to where we thought we were going to be.
Tom, take that dog food and make me eat it.
But he's basically, it's
get, I mean, that candlestick. It is embarrassing. And do your worst.
They should be embarrassed that their analytics thought that they were going to be a lot better. I mean, a hell of a lot better than what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they. Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, how long till they blame Breslow? It's his fault, obviously. It's not Sam's fault. He didn't put the team together, right?
No,
it's your GM,
dude. And I got to get to Sam's. Remember Sam's comments when AC was like, "Oh, he's, hey, we supported Breslow on." I felt like he distanced himself from Breslow, Sam Kinney did, when the firing of AC. And my guess is that will continue. But Sam's taking it hard these days. Now, I think he's finally not talking like Breslow.
No.
He's certainly not talking like Breslow.
But the problem is, too, the Wills were talking about this on the end of the broadcast. Like, okay, you can pivot and make trades. And you have pieces, because we saw a bunch of lists where the Red Sox do have some coveted pieces in terms of the way baseball thinks about them. But you're going to get a bunch of double-A guys or, at best, Caleb Durbin types who have gotten a sniff of the big leagues, and you hope it's going to be – you can wish on something, but that's not going to get anybody excited. Who's going to get excited about any trade return now?
Nobody.
Could be the fifth best prospect in baseball. You're going to be like, all right, wake me up in 2029 when they're ready, you know?
And if you're going to be doing that, where you're getting guys that are, you know, kind of for the future, then I want somebody else in there making those decisions, not Breslow.
Totally. Yeah. Yes.
And that's the thing, too, is I don't know why they're waiting. Because all of us in this room, like, we all agree that Breslow should have nothing to do with any kind of future moves that they're about to make right now.
It's because they don't know who's going to replace him. Yeah. You got to know who that is before you fire him. Right?
Well, I mean, it took 11 people to get to this guy. I know, who's left?
But in the middle of the season, it's just I don't know. I don't know what good that would do if you don't have a guy in mind already.
Because you don't want his hands on this. You don't want them relying on nothing but numbers and stats. You want them to make some sort of decision that involves, I mean, God, you had Theo talking about it, how it's like, what do you call it, a lost art of the human side, of being able to, like, judge how well a player can play, not just by cranking it into some computer that spits out some ticker tape and tells you, right, you know, yes, Y equals yes, Z equals no. And I can't stand that about this team, because you can tell by the way it was constructed that's the kind of, and by the every article says that's what they make their decisions by, is stats, statistics, AI. And it's the laziest way you can run a team.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's hands-off lazy.
But he's blown it up to the point where if you only have two scouts left, it's an off-season project to go back to hiring old-school scouts again. I mean, you can't just pick them up in mid-season, can you? I mean,
no.
That problem is not real fixable right now.
And by the way, this is my take. You can yell at me, and if you're a member of the media and you like want to say, well, how dare you do it? I truly believe it's human nature. If you are on a team that absolutely sucks, that you will not rush back from an injury until you are fully healed. Whereas I think that if you are on a better team that's got a chance to win or is playing games that get people excited, there's just human nature that says, I want to get back and be part of that quicker.
Are you talking about somebody in particular?
I'm talking about the injured players. I'm talking about guys like Roman Anthony. I think that Roman Anthony, and as I said, it's human nature, and I don't blame him. And I just know that it just seems like history has shown us that when a team is truly in contention and a team is doing well and it's exciting to be around, there's just a party that's like, you know what, maybe I won't wait for 100%. Maybe I'll wait for 80%.
Man, that's, you know, for
and I'll get out there.
Guys are getting guaranteed contracts. They're paid a lot of money to play.
That's part of it, $130 million.
Exactly. But I also think it doesn't matter. If I'm Roman Anthony and I'm looking at this team, I'm probably saying I ain't rushing to get back. Dude, this team's, like, lost. This is a lost cause. So why would I risk, like, any kind of pain or, you know, I know in his case it's not like you can injure it any worse. But why would I risk pain when I can wait and get 100% and then get out there and feel confident? It might make, you know, take a few more games, but I ain't rushing back to this.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's lumped in now with Christian Campbell and Bayo, three guys part of the young core that they gave all this advanced money to. And think about the misspent money there right now. Three guys who are not on the team. Obviously, Roman, you can somewhat understand with the injury, but the other two are just busts.
Is there another team that's done it that way, like the Red Sox, where you have, you know, these
Young money, yeah.
Yeah, giving guys a lot.
We've seen it more often lately.
It's like they can't. They can't give older veterans, you know, long term deals and make it work, and they can't give young guys that haven't even done what they are projecting them to do a lot of money because they suck at the projections too. It's like whatever strategy they take, they seem to screw it up.
I just think that it's not, because there's people who will call something like that soft in like Roman Anthony's thing, and I don't believe that at all. I just think it's human nature. I just think you're like, I don't feel like, why would I go out there and play through pain when I can. This team sucks. They're not going anywhere.
But that says something about the overall, you know, DNA of the team. Like that,
sure.
You know, that you have your best a player that's supposed to be your best player.
Bregman, if he were here, probably would be like, get your ass on the field.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, and I think that speaks to a larger problem with the team. If there's guys that are maybe could play that don't want to because the team sucks, then, dude, you know, that's kind of what is wrong with this year's team is that they don't really have what it takes to be a winning team.
Unfortunately, too, like, I, you know, we had that guy, that Yankee guy yelling at me yesterday, and I was like, wow, the Red Sox have won two titles since the Yankees have last won. That's true. However, going back to 2019, they've had two winning years that were sort of anomalies now when you look at it. They had 2021 when they made the Final Four and lost to Houston, and they had last year when they made the wild card round.
Yeah.
But other than that, the bigger picture is now you are one of the worst-run organizations in baseball over a long stretch, like probably as bad as the Angels. It's you and Anaheim in the last 8 years in terms of, like, inept franchises and the way you've been run.
Yeah, other than those 2 years you mentioned, they were last in the AL East every year.
Right. And this is a new low.
Yep, this is not good. All right, well, 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls. Also, there was a little nugget. Did you guys see that that Sam Amick report that came out?
I saw a lot of Giannis. Ooh, a lot of Giannis news.
This is a good one. We've got a real insider
who
knows
hot,
things.
This story is hot.
I'm telling you, he knows things. And if you are a fan of Giannis Antetokounmpo coming to the Celtics, you might have yourself a little chubby. In 2 minutes, we'll be back. Is this Mama said knock you out? This is a Rick Rubin production, correct? Mm-hmm. Was this one of the ones he made out of his dorm room at NYU? I know the first LL Cool J album he made out of his dorm room.
Yeah, it might be.
That's insane.
We'll see you at the parade today.
Oh, no. We've got to talk about we'll talk about the parade in a minute, because the Knicks parade has got some of the better viral videos that I have seen in a while.
The one you sent is so funny.
But by the way,
is that real?
Yes, and it was a director's cut, because apparently it goes on for another minute. But I'll just say, there was this one woman who was sitting, like, on this thing underneath the streetlight. So she had climbed up and was, you know, above the crowd, sitting on a box that was on, a streetlight. And this one kind of bigger woman comes climbing up. And these are both women. And she grabs her and throws her off. And so when the other one woman falls to the ground, she grabs the other one's pants and rips them off. And you see an orange thong, and she has a huge rear end. And instead of getting angry, she's hanging from the pole and starts twerking.
It was the great finishing move. That was the end.
This is unbelievable.
She's literally hanging from the pole, like, above the crowd, and is, like, with, like, a bare ass, and she's, like, twerking, and then the woman pulls her underwear off, and she still continues twerking.
It was like the Yokozuna end, you know, when he used to sit on people, you know? Like,
the bonsai drop.
Is that what it was?
The bonsai drop. It really was just, like, one of the most amazing, like, listen, they're having a time. They really are. And you know what? As I said, you know, some of these... We'll get to it in a little bit, because there's a couple funny clips that came out of it. But first, I'm very excited because, you know, there's fake smoke and there's real smoke. And right now there's fire when it comes to Giannis coming to the Boston Celtics. And, you know, as everyone knows, Bill Simmons kind of set this all off about a week ago when he said that, you know, I thought they were out, but they're back in. Kevin O'Connor came jumping in. Now you've had reports from people like Gary Washburn that they have heard that there might have even been an offer that was made that didn't involve Jaylen Brown. But this report right here is fresh. This is from today. And Sam Amick from The Athletic and The New York Times, he's been on top of this story as well. And this one I put a lot of stock into. Let's take a listen.
Give me your official prediction, though. Once training camp opens up, where do you feel like Giannis will be?
Man, I mean, it's so tough. I'll probably be wrong. Just to spice it up a little bit, I'm going to say Boston just because they've got this history of swinging for the big stars, right? And they've missed a lot, too. Now, the thing is, like, right now, the sense is that if the Bucks, this is just me talking, like, if the Bucks said, all right, Jaylen Brown for Giannis straight up, I think the deal is done. I think the Celtics don't think they should be having to put much, if anything else, in there. So the question is... But what tugs at me, and I guess why, Lou, I answered the question that way, is that, like, something is driving the Celtics to be interested, right? And they were interested at the deadline. And that, you know, two things can be true. They can have the utmost respect and love for Jaylen Brown and the player he has become. But I'm one of those kind of actions over words people, and it's like something is keeping the Celtics inspired to remain in this conversation instead of just, you know, heading back to their corner and rocking with their team. And so I feel like maybe they do enough at the last minute to get the deal done. I mean, the safe answer is Miami. That's still what most people think is going to happen.
It's interesting because we talked to writers from Milwaukee who said a straight up trade JB for Giannis would be like, they'd laugh at it.
Yeah, like not they, anymore. Not,
Milwaukee doesn't would laugh at an offer like that.
That's what Zamek's saying. He's saying they're asking for JB plus.
They're not going to get
that. Oh, JB plus.
Yeah, he's saying they won't do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. They want more, and the Celtics are saying, no, we're not giving you more than just Jaylen.
But to Ted's point, the problem is that, and even he kind of, you know, was talking about that a little bit at the beginning, the Bucks have kind of, what's the term? They played themselves? They basically let their business be known that Giannis wants out. Like, he doesn't want to be there. So that is a huge hit on any kind of negotiating power that they have. Also, we've heard,
and there's a trade deadline to get the deal done.
Right. If you want that, get that pick in the draft, you got to do it soon. Right. And on top of that, we've seen or at least heard what the alleged offer for Miami was, and it ain't great. It's Tyler Hero and some picks.
That's your good point. That's Brad Stevens' trump card. He's like, go ahead, you take Tyler Hero in the 13th pick. I'm offering you JB.
Yeah.
If you think that's better, go ahead. Just die on that hill. You know.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Giannis has a say in where he wants to go? Like,
I think he said, I'm good with either Boston or Miami.
Yeah,
you make the best deal.
I'd be curious. I mean, that's the reports. I almost feel like he wants to go to Miami. That's what I think he wants to do.
Maybe you might be right, but they are holding out for more than that as well. Otherwise, that deal would have been done a month ago.
Yeah. Do you have the Marcus Morris clip?
Yeah. So Marcus Morris, I think this is interesting because he played with JB and JT. So for him to be on ESPN and pontificating about what he thinks will and should happen, I think is interesting.
Giannis is still an effective top five player in this league. If not top five, top 10. He averaged 27-9-5. Yes, he didn't play a lot of games last year. He's been dealt with injury. But he also had a team where they couldn't really figure out what they wanted to do, right? You had to do the Dame Lillard trade. You had to do a lot of that stuff. I didn't think the coaching staff was amazing. Can we kind of point to that as well? I thought that he didn't have the amount of help that he needed. And if you're talking about a guy that's 6'11", almost 7 foot, that's still moving the same, he doesn't look like he's slowing down. And you can put an eye test, just passing an eye test. He's a great player still in this league. I like Mike Wilbon. I don't think that, you know, that was very accurate. If you're telling me that he goes to a team like Boston Celtics, they don't have a chance to win it. They're not automatically number one next year. Well, if he goes to the Boston Celtics
without Jaylen Brown,
which I think would be a great trade because I think Jaylen Brown needs his own team. I think it's about time. I love the combination between him.
Okay, stop it. That right there is the money clip. He needs his own team.
I don't.
And I think that he understands what's going on there. By the way, somebody said, what about the report of Jokic being available? I've never heard
Jeez.
I mean, listen, you want to do that? Then
holy
shut
hell,
up about
what?
Yeah. Shut up about
I would
Giannis.
Make that trade.
The Nuggets would never. Why would you ever get rid of it? But I don't know. Listen, maybe the texter knows what I don't know.
That's usually not the case.
I think the Giannis would be they would complement each other more than with JT and Giannis. They play off each other better than what JB and JT do.
But do you think Morris knows something? Like, is he in the who's JB's buddy that was the insider who was like he's disgruntled with something deep in the organization?
Oh gosh, who was that?
Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady. Yeah.
Is Marcus Moore? He played with these guys. Jaylen needs his own team. I think that is probably him. Some conversations, at least maybe not directly, but indirectly. That JB does indeed want his own team. He's a little frustrated.
Yeah, I wish he would just say it. Damn it, say it, JB. You know you do. You just want to go and have your own team. Mm-hmm. You want to be the guy. Just say it, man. It's because that's what he wants to do. He won't be happy until he is the guy.
I think so, but you know, the fact that Tatum hasn't said anything either, I think that is also revealing. He didn't go on the Twitch. I know when Stephen A. Smith said that. You're just trying to put things together at this point.
Tatum's just being smart. Tatum's just like, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to disappear. I'm on lockdown. He's got a good agent saying, you like all those Doritos ads you do? You like all the, the endorsements you have? Keep your mouth shut. People will love you. Because just think, how much more would people love Jaylen Brown right now if he just wouldn't have said anything at the end of the season? Mm-hmm. If he wouldn't have said the whole,
that's true,
this was my favorite season, like there would be more people freaking out about him getting traded. And as I said, it's unfair because people are forgetting how good of a player he is because of it's being tainted by the stuff that he said.
Not really.
If he gets traded.
There's a history of it, and this was just a straw, I think, that just kind of broke the back, I think.
When people are talking about this trade, nobody says Jaylen Brown's no good. I mean, that never comes up. Nobody's saying he's overrated, can't finish. Like, none of that. It's chemistry. No, it's team fit.
That's what it is.
But I also think it's people who are not as upset to see him go. And I think that's because they're just kind of sick. You know, it's almost like having, you know, like a hot girlfriend, but they just bitch all the time. And you're like, oh, all right. That, and you forget how hot they are until they're with another guy.
Well,
you
know? Now, what about Cedric Maxwell? Now, I don't want to play the clip because we're low.
Is he talking about like going to a club where people pee all over the place?
He
like
says he does not want to trade Jalen. However, he brings up the 2-year extension. And I think that is very interesting that you have Cornbread saying maybe Jalen, he didn't say this, but either Jalen wants that 2-year extension added and the Celtics won't give it, which is what Chris Mannix told us, or it's the other way around. They want to sign him to it and Jalen doesn't want to commit to 2 more years here. And that could be working behind the scenes as some bit of drama.
I think
as well.
It's the former than the latter. I don't think the Celtics are going to extend it. They don't want to extend it. I don't think. My guess is they won't want to offer it. This is like
because he's too old at the end of the deal. Like he'll be 33.
Just,
and
why extend a guy 2 years before you have to? It doesn't happen very often. I mean, it happens sometimes, but I just don't. I think if it was Jason Tatum, they would do it.
A former player, like if you could get 2 more years at $70 million per year, it's time. Like they're probably going to give Tatum that. Why aren't you going to give me that? Wouldn't you be questioning that with your agent on a golf trip to Florida with
maybe
your uncle Bob Kraft?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I just don't know how many guys in the NBA get those extensions 2 years before they're supposed to. Does it happen a lot?
No, I don't think so. I think Mannix said it doesn't happen a lot, so it's interesting.
So that's what I'm saying.
But for the fact that Cedric Maxwell brought it up leads me to think, again, he's on the know on something.
Well, we've also got a talking head who is ripping on Mr. Jason Tatum a little bit. You give him a little bit of hey, maybe you're not the great player that everyone thinks you are, which I think, you know, listen, when I first read what he's about to say, I was like, that's not fair. And then I heard it, and I was like, well, these are pretty fair criticisms, to be quite honest.
And this guy sounds like you. Have anybody ever told you that?
Oh, does he really?
I think so, especially when you get a little raspy.
That's like the lunch lady telling me I'm attractive.
It's
not something that makes me feel
He's a
good.
Big star. It's not a bad thing.
I guess so. Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's all right. He's a good guy. I guess. I've never met him.
Do you think that's true, Ted, or do you not know who Rich is talking about?
I don't know who he's talking about.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
All right, good. 617-779-7937. And we got to talk about this Knicks parade because there are some shenanigans that are afoot. We'll get to that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, certainly. Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. We got Stiz and Jackson over in the other room as well. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And we spent that whole first hour essentially just taking your calls and doing a post-mortem on this Red Sox team that just seems to not be going anywhere. And it looks like everybody's given up on the season, and it doesn't sound like they have a plan.
If the Red Sox were a picture, would they be that burning bus in the Knicks parade? Or the whatever it was after the winning title?
Or maybe it would be the woman who was thrown on the ground, and the rest of the league would be the woman who was twerking in her face with no pants on from the parade. The Knicks parade truly has been great. I mean, you know, it's wild because it makes you think, obviously, of all the parades that have been here, and we've been very, very lucky. I mean, think about how fortunate we've been just since 04. I mean, it's been a nonstop. I remember there was one point, I know, it was the last time the Red Sox won. It was that 2018. And I remember we had so many parades in the last, like decade before that. I remember going to that one, and it was the first one where I went, I truly went, because that season was kind of like, too. It wasn't like anything super memorable.
There was no real challenging. It was just, they were cruised through that season, right?
Yeah, it was just kind of like, And I remember, too, like I think that was, I had gone to St. Patrick's Day, the St. Patrick's Day parade that year, and I remember thinking to myself, dude, the St. Patrick's Day parade is way more chaotic than an effing Red Sox parade now. But that's not to say that there have been some unbelievable epic ones. Like, I mean, I think that in my opinion,
Ted was in three. We were right in the middle of it.
I was about to say, so Ted, on a day like today, when you see these videos, when you see, like, you know, OG Anunoby just like stoned out of his mind, you see all of these other players wearing sunglasses doing these TV interviews because you know that they just haven't slept at all.
Haven't.
What was parade day like as a Patriot, as a champion?
It was the first one was intense. It was crazy. I felt a rush that I've never felt because we went out at City Hall Plaza, I believe.
Yeah.
So we all congregated there. The buses went there, and the crowd just looking out was, ooh man. You know, I've gotten like kind of chills and like an adrenaline rush a couple times like I've never gotten before, but I compared it to when I did the, remember with the River Rave that used to be down at the stadium? And I was up on stage and I was with Bledsoe and Adam, and we were basically, they had us modeling our new jerseys, and it was just a sea of people. And I'm up on that big stage. Like
1.25 million estimated for that one.
And it was, I was like, holy cow. I guess my heart started racing. It was a rush, like nothing I've ever experienced. It was incredible that people drove out there and just cramped themselves into that little space to watch us. Was, I don't know, I can't even tell you. And, you know, you're going down the streets and you look down the side streets and they're like 20 rows back of people.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then, you know, you look up at the buildings and, you know, you'd see things that were just, wow, that was great that I just saw that. You know, you just saw things that you know.
Who was next to you?
I went on Brady's boat.
Yeah, you were on Brady's boat.
Yeah, I went on Brady's boat because – I mean, Brady got, yeah, he got a he got a nice shot of some nice, you know, up against the window, right? So that's the bus you want to be on.
Who was with Brady at that time? Did he bring anybody on the boat with him, or did he not?
I don't think he had anybody. Okay. Yeah, Tara Reid wasn't on there.
Oh, that
Bridget Monahan
great.
Wasn't on there. Yeah, it would have been. I think maybe more fun if Tara was. But yeah, but it's an adrenaline rush that you can't even imagine. You get such to see how many people came out to see you. It's a trip, man.
What is the time between winning and like those 3 days or however long it was, like the 3 to 4 days between when you've won and when you're on that boat? What is it like?
You just, every day's a party. I mean, you don't really sleep much, but it's just, you're with family and friends and you just kind of talk about the season.
Did your family come up?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Not for the parade. No? Not for the parade. Mm.
Yeah.
Not for the parade, but just, you know, after the game.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But
what do you remember? Like, what parties did you go to? Like, do you remember there being a certain group of, or a certain restaurant or club that you guys took over or anything like that?
No. I don't remember that.
This wasn't like the Bruins when they went down to Mohegan Sun and had that epic bar tab that went viral.
Yeah.
Our party was right after the Super Bowl. So once we landed here, did the parade, guys were, see, I'm gone.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. But our big blowed out together party was post Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, Snoop Dogg was there. I mean, he was at all of them, which is great.
That's a given.
I mean, that's the party. That's the party. And I got a picture where I'm toasting with my buddies after every Super Bowl when the sun's coming up. I didn't go to sleep in any of the Super Bowls. And I got a great picture with Snoop Dogg. But, I mean, you look out on the balcony. I'll just never forget. I'm looking out at my room in Jacksonville. It was my last Super Bowl there. We beat the Eagles. And I see Ty down there on the lower balcony. He's out. And we're all toasting as the sun's coming up.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man.
What's that crash like? Like when it's all done and the parade's over with, and you've also went through an entire postseason of NFL football, the stress leading up to the Super Bowl. What is it like when the circus has finally left town and you're on your own?
It's a great feeling. It's like I'd probably compare it to like how my guy Andy Dufresne felt when he was sitting down on the roof when they were tarring the roof,
right, like,
and he got his
like
buddy
a free man.
He just with the cat that ate the canary look, and you're just like, I'm a world champ, man. You can't take that away. I've been with in rooms. I used to train with a bunch of guys down there in Houston that were played on different NFL teams, very established, big time players, accomplished players, and they all wanted to see my ring, and it hits you hard. Like, this is, guys want this. They want to provide for their families. They want to make money. They want to have their own good career, but they really want a ring. And most guys don't ever come close to getting one.
Think about like Marino, Randy Moss, Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Have you ever like thought about you've got something that Dan Marino never got?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Now you say it like that. That's kind of cool. But you're right. I'm very, very lucky to not only get one. And I thought I'd only get, you know, that one.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. To get two more is unreal.
Who was the most, I don't want to say out of control, but who was the biggest partier?
Ty.
Oh, Ty.
Hands
that
down.
Hasn't stopped.
Yeah, Ty's the guy that goes. He goes and he goes and he doesn't stop, man.
I
used to show up for like Wednesday morning meetings, and Ty's like, the limo pulls up and he's getting out of the, and you see the sleeping bag in the limo.
The limo pulls up with a sleeping bag.
Dude,
wow.
but then he'd go run stadium stairs before practice. He was an animal, man. Ty was probably our biggest party. Yeah.
Well, I remember like thinking back at some of these parades. I remember Garnett being like right before they went on the boat, on the duck boats, there was an interview that they did. I think it was on NBC Sports Boston, and like Gorman might have been there too. And they're like, "Wow, you've been having a good time." And I just remember Garnett like had these dark glasses. I was like, 48 hours and running, man, yeah. And then there was Marchand. Which, what was crazy, they don't do this anymore, is they don't have it, and I don't even know if the Knicks did anything like this from what I've seen, but, you know, they used to have it, like, where you would go to, in the Bruins, for you guys, it was Government Center, I believe, and for the Bruins, it was right by the TD Garden, where they would get up on a stage, and they would speak to the crowd first, and then they would get on the duck boats. And you remember when they turned the mic over to Brad Marchand? Brett, nobody partied harder than Brad Marchand.
Yeah, yeah, you
nobody did. Stiz, do you happen to have that clip?
Yeah. You know what it is.
Black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah.
Put it up, Posse. Put it up. Black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah.
Aha.
You know what it is.
Everything we do it big.
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you.
And what's so great.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, it's great.
I love him now.
What's so great about Marchand is that, I mean, remember, like, you know, but at the beginning of that season, like, he wasn't really anything. Like, nobody really knew much about Brad Marchand. And all of a sudden, he's the Stanley Cup winner. And as the story goes, as the rumor goes from people that I have spoken with and insiders, is that Brad, and there's pictures to prove a lot of this, he partied harder than anybody else. It was him and Sagan were all over the city. I mean, they plowed their way through everywhere. And there was a point where, from what I had been told, is that it got so crazy. Everyone else had gone home. Like, all of the other Stanley Cup, like, you know, champions, like Andrew Ferentz and Seidenberg, they'd all gone home. But Brad was still, like, all over the place ping-ponging around to where there is a story, and I don't know if it's true, that at one point Peter Chiarelli called him into his office and said, "Brad, it's time to go home.
Yeah, time to get some sleep.
It's time to finally get some sleep and go home." But yeah, so that's why when I see these parades, even though it's the Knicks and, you know, kind of F the Knicks, although I like the team, I just don't like everything around them. That stuff always, because that's pure. Like, it makes me think of like the Bruins mm-hmm. parade and how huge and crazy that was, yeah. or the Patriots parades, where it was like it truly felt special.
Oh yeah,
you know,
we didn't need I believe I heard they got 10,000 police officers.
It's the most police officers that have ever been at like one gathering or something like that. It was like the most that New York City has ever put together for one event.
10,000 cops. That's
insane. Well, you know, it's New York City,
yeah.
And I know that. I think the record is still the Bruins parade for the most people have shown up, because that was 2 million, because it was a Saturday in the summer.
I think the 04 Red Sox were 3.
Oh, was that 3?
I think so.
Okay, then that might be right. But I know that the Bruins, it was like a perfect storm of it being a beautiful Saturday mm-hmm. afternoon. So like everyone was off work. Everyone was able to get down. There was no school. So it was like it couldn't have been more perfect scenario for it. But yeah, so these videos are great. And that one woman, she's the hero. The one who just was on that threw that woman down the lamppost and just started twerking up there. Truly one of the better videos.
I love that she had color, her, you know, G-string was, you know, was orange.
Was Knicks orange.
Yeah, Knicks orange, yeah.
Even down below, she was all about the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
617-779-7937. We will sweep the leg next. Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also listen to us on the old Odyssey app. And this break is brought to you by Milligan and Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to milliganandhiggins.com for a free consultation. And by the way, I wanted to show you this, Ted. I think you would enjoy this too. Mm. This is what I was talking about a little bit earlier in the show. So I felt a little emasculated because yesterday I was invited to go hang out with the Scots. They're all drinking over at Cisco Brewery. And our good friend Kat, who, you know, has been mm-hmm. in studio as well. And I told them that there was unfortunately someplace I had to go. And Ted, I'll have you read this if you would like to.
Mm-hmm. Rich went to. Should I reveal?
The picture and read the bottom caption.
Yes, it says, "And you are at Le Effing Misera? WTF.
That is a strange fetish of yours, the two like show tunes. And
how do you not just love them immediately, those Scots, man?
Yeah, they are throwing it down. And you know what? Good for all the bars. We had yesterday Kaylee, who works at Harvard Gardens, which is a little bit up the street from Faneuil Hall, where everyone seems to be congregating. But even she got $1,000 in tips in one day. Yep. So not only are these people coming here, but they're spending a ton of money. They're
cleaning up after themselves.
It's crazy. It's truly been way better than I thought it was going to be, and it's been fun as hell. And as I said, I don't know if I could hang. It's probably a good thing that I was at the manliest thing you could possibly go to last night instead of hanging with
them. Did you feel manly during the show last night?
I am a sucker. I hate to say it, and I'll admit it because I am not ashamed. Les Miserables is one of the greatest like things of music that anyone has ever put together. I'm not kidding you. It was almost E.T. almost got choked up.
Oh, wow.
So anytime I sit here and pretend that I'm like the super like tough guy, oh, fire, Craig Breslow, Red Sox, rah, tough sports. Just know that I almost got choked up at Les Miserables last night.
Real quick, if I might, since we're on the World Cup, yesterday we had Charlie Davies on presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. Download the Fanatics Sportsbook app today. Winning hits different here. Double your winnings with Fanatics Sportsbook. 100% profit boost. Fanatics Sportsbook, winning hits different. He said this. Real quick.
But Messi is in a whole different category. Where he's the Michael Jordan. He's the Tom Brady.
He said Messi is the Tom Brady, basically, of their sport. Is that accurate? And which is a bigger star of the 2000s?
Well, so I don't know anything about, like soccer, but the one thing I know is that Messi has played in 5 World Cups, which is like Tom Brady, basically the equivalent of him having these, like, that career length that he's had, where arguably, Tom Brady has had 3 Hall of Fame careers.
He's 3-1.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's insane, bro.
So I think that when anybody who knows what they're talking about with soccer, put it this way, I'm a moron when it comes to all things soccer, but I know that Messi is, I know his greatness. Mm-hmm. I know that this guy is just, at his age, he's still scoring 3 goals in 1 match in the World Cup, which is just ridiculous.
Ronaldo, on the other hand, not so much. Not
no, he gets shut down. Portugal, yeah, what's going on, bro?
They're crushing him down.
I heard them speculating he might get benched.
Yeah.
They might take him off the roster.
Yeah, they are crushing him. It's Ronaldo, dude. You got out. You should even get out in time, brother. You need to exit stage right, man.
All I know is that the guy who just walked in the room had his own song written for him by the Tartan Army.
Talk about the strange things that happened this week.
Do we have this clip? Because I got a video, and it was of a bunch of Scots banging on the Red Sox WEEI studio right there in Lansdowne. Down and singing this.
It starts to fade there at the end, but it's pretty good. That's more than I got. I mean, not to rip on your song.
Well, the story I heard was that there was a guy named Christian on the Scotland team already.
Oh.
And it was a song about him, but they subbed in my last name.
Not Pulisic. They got their own Christian.
It's a, yeah, not Pulisic.
It's
the guy they're singing.
I've heard the song. It's the one that they sing.
There's another one. There's the achy breaky one, but that's for somebody else.
That's John McGinn.
Okay. Yeah, it's the great John McGinn or whatever. But yeah, they have a whole bunch of songs. They got a song for everybody on the team. They're unbelievable, these people. And we had a great time. Rich, it's my fault. They all know you went to Les Mis. I told them.
Oh, it's great.
So that was me.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Right?
I was like, he went to Les Mis.
And I could hear it in her voice. You went to effing Les Mis? What are you doing?
But we had a great time. We went down to the suite for a little while, Ken. Ooh, that was fun. Ooh. And they had a blast. It was really, really cool. And just
did they
an
drink
awful
us out
game.
Of beer there? Oh, boy. Mike
kinda,
Thomas
yeah.
should be getting that bill.
They were stuffing them in their kilts. It was great, though. But, yeah, it was aside from the baseball being played there, it was a fun weekend.
And a quick close, weekend, our soccer discussion presented by Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here.
Yes. Oh, by the way, this is a break all two brought to you by the drive home. Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. But so how late did you stay out with them last night?
So I didn't get done until, like, 11:15.
Yeah.
And by then, I think they had all left.
Okay.
They were all gone by then. What? So I spent the time during the game with them walking around, but I think afterwards they called it a night. Oh. They've been going really hard. I don't know if you guys noticed.
I've heard
They're
that.
Going like real hard out here.
And the good news is that this is kind of cool. So when we had Kat in here, who was from the radio show that's covering the Tartan Army, one of her friends was the one who went viral with like 5 to 10 million
yeah,
views.
Yeah, I met that guy.
Good dude. And he was the guy, it was the video of him looking at the Jumbotron of the Patriots cheerleaders like, oh my God, because they don't have cheerleaders of any of their sports. And he freaked out. Apparently, he's going to be meeting those Patriots cheerleaders in person tomorrow.
Love it. Love it.
So how about that? Dreams do happen.
They do.
They're never going to want to go home, I'm telling you. And there's that also video, and I've been obsessed with it. There's the video of all the Scots that went to New York, and they're all complaining that New York isn't half as good as Boston as they want to go home.
Yep.
I agree.
If they beat Morocco, will they riot? What will they do?
Yeah, it'll be a pants off dance
in Foxborough.
I mean, the pants are already off.
They're gonna like
killed, so.
I mean,
sure,
because they're heavy underdogs, right? That would be a sizable upset.
They are, but good for them, man. And you know, as I said, it's made the city a hell of a lot of fun. It's been great to walk around town and check it all out. But yeah, so
it's
go
the summer
Scotland.
Of soccer.
It is the summer of soccer. Go
not
Scotland.
The socks.
As I said, I love everything about the games except for the actual games themselves. I still kind of, I think that's why they sing so much, because they have to keep themselves entertained during these nil-nil draws.
You have to do that at Fenway.
All right, everybody, have yourself a fantastic evening. The great Christian Arcand is next, giving you a little bit of a post-mortem. Just a kick in the crotch series for that Boston Red Sox. Are we on Breslow watch? Who knows? Who cares? Party like the Scots is what I say. And climb up on street poles and have your pants pulled off. We'll see all you guys again real soon. We love you. Bye.